And it's a strange thing, amen, as you turn to Revelation, the third chapter, amen. Going to begin reading Revelation 3 and 14. But the strange thing about, amen, the book of Revelation, most ministers, when they look in this book and they start reading, amen, about the seven churches, most ministers, amen, start and stop right here, what we're concluding with today. Most ministers don't talk, amen, about the church at Ephesus or Thyatira or Smyrna or Sardinia. They don't talk about Pergamum. They don't talk about the different churches, amen, that's mentioned throughout this book. Everybody goes, amen, to the book of Laodicea. Everybody says erroneously that we're in the Laodicean age, amen. And what's meant by that, by implication, is that everybody is lukewarm. Come on now. Because Jesus, and we're going to find out, Jesus, one of the ways he describes this church is that they're lukewarm. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not lukewarm in God. Amen. Some days I'm hotter than a pistol, and some days I'm just as cold as ice. But I'm everything but lukewarm in God. Amen. I pray that you are too. I pray that some days you may be hot, some days you may be cold, but at no time will the Lord ever find you where you're lukewarm. Can you say amen? Now, a lot of people are afraid of that. So cold, Pastor, don't say you're cold. Don't say you're cold. Why not? Jesus said in one place that he would that you were hot or cold. Jesus didn't have problems with cold folk. Come on now. Hear people all the time talking about the church is cold, and I understand what they mean when they said the church is cold. They're saying that there's no fervency, there's no passion, there's no one earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Amen. That's what they mean when they said the church is cold, but they don't mean what Jesus was saying when he's talking about this. So everybody should be, amen, in Revelation 3 and 14 right now. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the amen. Uh-oh, right there. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. How many of y'all know when you say amen, you're saying something? Amen. Hallelujah. Just say it then. When you say amen to something, you're saying, I witness that this is true. Come on now. I witness that this is true. I witness that this is the will of God. So you're saying amen. Jesus introduces himself, said, these things saith the amen. Come on now. He said, I am the perfect witness. I'm the amen of God. When God said, let there be, and he said, let there be light, it was me that said amen. Oh, y'all missed that. You missed your place to shout on that right there. These things saith the amen. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. I love that. Made me want to run right there. These things saith the amen. The faithful and true witness. Come on now. He said, I see, I do always those things which please my heavenly Father. He said, y'all have never seen his form at any time. You've never heard his voice. You haven't seen his shape. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and if I say I haven't seen him, then I'll be a liar just like you. He said, but I have seen him. I have heard him. He's saying, I am the amen. I'm the faithful and true witness. He said, my Father works hitherto, and I work. He said, and the Father's going to show me more things than these, that you may marvel. He said, I am the faithful and true witness. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. When God said, let there be light, he was talking about me. Come on now. I'm the beginning of the creation of God. So wait a minute now, Pastor. You got an error right there. When God said, let there be light, he wasn't talking about no Jesus. He was talking about the sunshine. No, read your Bible. He didn't do the sun, moon, and stars till the fourth day. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. So what did he do on that first day when he said, let there be light? And there was light. And he saw the light, that it was good. You know why? Because he was looking at himself. Come on now. He said, I need a manifestation of me because I'm about to create humanity. I'm about to create men and women. I'm going to create them in my image and after my likeness. And so there needs to be an expression of me because the Bible says, ooh, y'all, this is so good. Solomon, and you got to read in the book of Chronicles for this. Chronicle, just before Solomon spoke, and we're going to speak on this a little bit later, before God comes to Solomon and says, if my people which are called by my name, God spoke some things to Solomon before then. And Solomon had some revelation about God. Solomon knew, I'm about to build a temple. He said, but you know what? The heavens, neither the heaven of heavens can contain you. So much less this that I'm making. He said, so we've got to figure this thing out. You've given me permission. You let my daddy David gather some materials together, and you've given me permission to build you a temple, but I got a problem because the heaven and the heaven of heavens can't contain you.
Thank you, Lord.
No wonder he said, let there be light. I got to get away of myself so I can communicate with the people that I'm about to make. No wonder the Bible said he is far above all heavens. He's from everlasting unto everlasting. Don't you know if you're from everlasting to everlasting, but you're about to create something that's finite, I've got to figure out a way so they can talk to me, because they can't come to me like this. Come on now. Say, I am the Amen. I am the faithful and true witness. I am the beginning of the creation of God. How he introduces himself to the church at Laodicea. Then he says, I know your works. I know what you've been up to. I know that thou art neither cold nor hot. And watch what he says after this. I would that thou were cold or hot. So why is it that nobody wants to be cold? Some days God wants me cold. Come on now. And I said, no, Pastor, God wants you hot. God wants you, no. God wants you hot. God wants you fervent. He wants you boiling. He wants you on fire all the time. Well, sometimes that's not going to do folks no good. Come on now. Sometimes that's not going to fit the purpose that God has intended for me. And we in the holiness realm, especially we in the holiness realm, we need to get a revelation on what it means to be hot or cold. Because sometimes we are so hot, we're so fervent all the time that nobody wants to fool with us. Because we're too hot. We burn folk up. We cook them. We boil them. But what if the folks are thirsty? Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The Bible says, with joy we draw water out of the well of salvation. Jesus said, they that believe on me, as the scripture hath said, out of your belly shall flow rivers, what? Of living water.
Hallelujah.
So if people are going to drink from me, if people are going to drink from the Christ that emanates from my being, and they're going to have their thirst quenched because of the heat of the trials that they're going through, nobody wants to sit down to a boiling hot cup of water. Come on now. Sometimes as the children of God and as the people of God, we've got to understand the coolness that God can bring. Come on now. You don't want to drink from a hot spring. You don't want to drink from a hot well. Come on now. You want to drink from a cool spring. You want to drink from a cool well, because that's going to quench your thirst. That's going to lower the heat of the trial that you're going through. Jesus said, I would that you were cold or hot. Come on now. The reason I can't use you is because you're lukewarm. Can't do nothing with lukewarm. You're not going to quench nobody's thirst. And if you were hot, at least you can cook and clean with it. Come on now. Oh, there are times when God needs you boiling hot, because there's going to be some cleaning done. And God don't want you to clean them, but he may use you and me to get it done. Come on now. He may use you and me as those conduits, or those preparers, those vessels that he can actually heat up and cause, amen, that the heat and the fire and the passion that God uses to purge out, amen, to purge and to purify and to clarify the children of God. He'll use us in that place of hot heat passion. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus, to clean and to purge and to purify. God can use us hot. God can use us cold. But where God can't use us is lukewarm.
Glory to God.
Can't get nothing done with you. That was his problem with this church. They were lukewarm. They weren't hot. Can't clean, can't cook with you. They're not cold. I can't send you out to refresh anybody. You're no good. Watch this. I would that thou were hot, cold, or hot. 15 verse. 16 verse. So then, because thou art lukewarm, look at this, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Say, I can't use you. You're not quenching nothing, and you're not cooking or cleaning nothing. So, can't use that. Watch this. This is what made them lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. Now, these folks got it going on in the natural. Come on now. These folks got it going on in the natural. They don't need for anything. But just because you're rich and increased with goods in the natural, what good is that if God needs you not only to be rich and increased with goods in the natural, but more importantly, God needs you to be rich and increased with goods in the spirit?
Hallelujah.
Jesus said, lay not treasure up for yourself where the thief can break in, or rust, or moth can corrupt and steal. He said, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven that the thief can't break in and steal, that the moth can't corrupt, the rust can't corrupt. He said, this is the riches that you need to be focused on. In other words, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. What things? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What withal shall we be clothed? All the natural things that man, and even, hold on to your seatbelts, religious man focuses on. Because religious man thinks the more saved you are, the bigger your car. The more saved you are, the bigger your bank account. The more saved you are, the more prestigious the clothes, and the more exclusive the clothes and the jewelry that you're wearing. All those things are nice, and Lord knows that I don't believe that God made furs and diamonds and rubies just so that pimps and pushers could have them. Come on now. That's not why God created that. God didn't create riches, amen, just so that the worldly folks, amen, and the crooks and the thugs could have riches. No, no, no. My Bible said, I give you power to get wealth that you may establish my covenant. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Watch this. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Got all these things. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Here's a church that says, I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, I have need of nothing. But Jesus is saying, you got the need of the worst kind. Don't you know that you're wretched? Don't you know that you're miserable? Don't you know that you're poor, that you're blind, that you're naked? And watch this. I counsel thee. Uh-oh. Don't you know when the Bible talks about the seven spirits of God, one of those spirits was the spirit of counsel. Come on now. Jesus is saying, I counsel thee. It's 18th verse. I counsel thee to do something. What does he say he counseled them to do? I counsel thee to buy of me. Underline that, highlight that, circle that in your Bible. Jesus said, I counsel thee to buy of me. Now, how many of y'all have ever heard the saying that you can't buy nothing from God? Come on now. Yeah, he's a baby saying, I heard it. I've heard it all my life. Well-meaning, well-intended people saying, you can't buy nothing from God. Jesus said you can. As a matter of fact, Jesus saying, I advise you, I counsel you, you need to get into an exchange with me. I counsel you to buy of me. Come on now. See now, where people are getting messed up is when you think of buying and selling, you can't get the natural realm out of your mind. See, the Bible says, God says, all the gold is mine, cattle on 1,000 hills. In other words, I own everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. the world and they that dwell therein. But people, because we're carnal, because we're fleshly, when we think of buying, we want to take out our checkbook, want to take out our wallet. Because God, you know, I can't buy nothing. What am I supposed to offer you? $100? $1,000? How am I supposed to buy things from you? And we preachers aren't any help. Because as soon as we get the flowing in our gifts of the Spirit, next thing you know, we got a $20 line. We got a $50 line. We got a $100 line. We got a $1,000 line. And depending on how much you give, that's the kind of prayer you're going to get. Come on now. You come up there with $5 and it's, Lord bless them in Jesus' name. Come on now. But you get in that $1,000 line. And my brother, God's speaking to me about you right now. Oh, sha-ta-ta-ba-ba-ba-ha. We get all deep with it because that $1,000 check just hit. You know, that's not what Jesus is talking about when he said, I counsel thee to buy of me. Mm-mm. As a matter of fact, when it comes to natural things, Jesus said, freely have you received, freely give. Come on now. When it comes to natural things, amen, the Bible speaks and seems to underscore a different economy. In the book of Isaiah says, ho, come everybody, buy bread, buy water, without money, without price. Come on now. He said, you come and buy this without money, without price. But you got to understand something. Jesus also told that church that thought they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing, I counsel you to buy something of me. I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire that you may be rich. Buy some white raiment that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness do not appear. I counsel you to buy you some eye salve so you can anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Now, put your checkbook down. How do you buy things from God? How much does it cost? What do you want? Come on now. Nothing in the store costs the same. What do you want from God? That's what it's going to cost for you to buy. I said, well, not money? No, consecration. You buy it with your faith. You buy it with your consecration. You say, well, Lord, I want you to prosper my home and my family. I want you to prosper me so that I can do the things that you've called me to do. I want you to prosper me so that, Lord, my enemies will leave me alone and I can get done the things that you've caused me to do. So well, then what's that going to cost me? Because that's not something that's free. Come on now. It's only a couple of things in the Bible that God ever gives out that he give out for free. A gift is free. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Come on now. That's a gift. That's free. You can't earn that. But there's a whole lot of saved folks who've received the gift of salvation. But you look at how they're living and they look pitiful. You discern where they are in the spirit and in their mind, they're tormented. In their mind, they're not at peace. They can't sleep at night because stuff is still bothering them and they can't figure it out. But I go to church. I can't figure out why stuff is still bothering me. I know I'm saved and they are saved. I know God loves me and he does love them. I know if I die today, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. And they're absolutely right. Eternal life is theirs. But they didn't make a good exchange. Come on now. Wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You believed on his death, burial, and resurrection. You received the gift of eternal life. You don't even have to worry about that. The other gift that God gives you is kind of hidden in the Bible. And I'm not talking about gifts of the Spirit and things of that nature. I'm talking about just gift. It's in Ecclesiastes around 5 and 19. Where the Bible said he gives every man the power to take his portion, to eat and to enjoy the fruit of his labor. The Bible says this is the gift of God. To be able to take the portion of what you work for and what you earn, to take some of that, just take a portion of that and to eat and to enjoy that. That's the gift of God. Everything else you want, going to cost you. Say, well, Pastor, you was talking about having all those things. What is it going to cost you? Here's your cost. You're going to come into the store. This is God's store. He said, if my people which are called by my name will, here's a cost, humble yourself. Here's a cost, pray. Here's a cost, seek my face. Here's a cost, turn from their wicked ways. He said, then I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sin and I'll heal your land. That's a cost right there. Do you know that there are people that believe in Jesus Christ, but they're fighting all kind of diseases? They're fighting all kind of sicknesses. Some sicknesses and diseases that God didn't intend for his people. Come on now. So you mean really? You mean there's some diseases that hits worldly people that God didn't necessarily intend to hit his people, but sometimes his people suffer from them anyway? Yeah. Yeah. So do you want to be clear of all that type of nonsense? Well, that's going to cost you something. It's more than just salvation. Everybody turn to Exodus. Let me put my bookmark in here because we got to come back to this. Turn to Exodus, the 15th chapter. Something that gets lost in here sometime. Exodus, the 15th chapter. By the way, if my people, which are called by my name, that's 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. You can reference that in your notes. But this one right here, you got to understand something. When you turn to the book of Exodus, do you realize that there were judgments that were placed on the Egyptians that didn't affect Israel at all? Come on now. Those boils, those lice, those flies, the maggots, the frogs, all those things, they affected the world, and Egypt represented a type of the world. Come on now. Israel represented a type of those who were called out of the world, who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But God gives a warning to Moses right here in Exodus 15 chapter. And he also sets up an exchange. Exodus 15 and 26. Watch this. God, speaking, matter of fact, let me start in the the 23rd verse. And when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Mara, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Hello, Jesus. Showed them a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. That's a type of Christ right there. That tree that Moses put into the bitter water, and the bitter water was made sweet. That was a type of Christ right there. That's part of the revelation of Jesus Christ. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance or a law. And there he proved them, this is God, proved his people, and said, now watch what he's going to tell his people. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. There's a price right there. You got to listen to God. Whole lot of folks that are saved, they ain't listening to God. They're saved. They believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When God speaks to them, they're not listening. Because they caught up in their own agenda. Bible says their God is their belly. In other words, whatever they lust after, that's what they want. If their flesh wants it, they think that's God. No. That ain't God. That's your belly. That's your flesh lusting after something. And you can give so much attention to what you want, and it's not always food. Sometimes it's some get back, some vengeance. That's why God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Sometimes flesh just want what it want. Come on now. Say, I ain't asking God nothing. This is what I want. Come on now. God is saying right here, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, that's a price, and will do that which is right in his sight, that's a price tag right there. whole lot of folks that are saved, they believe on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but they're not necessarily hurting themselves to do everything that's right in God's sight all the time. Come on now. Sometimes they just want to do what's right in their own eyes. Come on now. He said, but if you do that which is right in his sight and will give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, these are prices that have to be paid. What's the benefit? I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh my God, y'all missed y'all place to shout on that one too. Jesus said, I counsel you to buy of me. On that, how am I going to buy it? This is how you buy from God. This is how you buy from him. Your mind's in turmoil all the time. Turn to Isaiah 26. Your mind's in turmoil. Can't sleep at night. Come on now. Tossing and turning all night long. Can't get sleep. Isaiah 26. 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. What's it going to cost you? Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Y'all missed that right there. Oh, you can sleep when your mind is stayed on the Lord. When you trust that God knows what you have need of. When you believe in him, you trust in him. You believe him at his word. Say, he won't put more upon me than I'm able to bear. He will, with the temptation, make a way of escape.
Hallelujah.
I understand who I'm serving. He's not doing this thing just flying by the cup. He has a plan. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delights in my way. Though I fall, I won't be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth me with his hand. I trust him on that.
Yes, sir.
So even though sometimes I might slip, sometimes I might fall, there's no preacher, there's no bishop, there's no deacon, there's no trustee that can tell me I'm no longer a child of God. I can sleep at ease because I trust him.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
You want to be his disciple. You want to be one of God's chosen ones that go with him everywhere that he goes. This is what it's going to cost you. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him, price tag, deny himself. Price tag, take up his cross daily. Now, come on, let's go. You done paid the price. That's what it's going to cost to be my disciple. Jesus told Laodicea, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you can be rich. In other words, you need to get the riches of God.
Yes.
Don't worry about all this stuff that you think you got. I'm rich, increased with good, have need of nothing. But you ain't got nothing in God. You're miserable. You're wretched. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. All this, got money in the bank. Bishop Sanders said, folks, going to hell through the church. Come on now. I counsel you to buy of me. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. White raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Folks that are saved, believe God, go outside and testify and tell folk how good God is. And all their testimonies about how good they've been. I've been living saved for these past 10 years, and you know, I don't do what you do. I ain't smoking, I ain't drinking, I ain't cussing, I ain't fussing. I ain't doing none of that stuff you do. Not giving God any of the glory. Not giving him any of the praise. So they're not clothed in the righteousness of Christ. They're clothed in their own righteousness. And guess what happens as soon as they fall? The world sees their nakedness and they're shamed. Instead of saying, you know what, I understand where you're coming from. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right there with you. I understand why you got to pull on that mid and that loud. I understand why you're there. Because if I didn't have the peace of God that passed all understanding, baby, I'd need something to calm my nerves too. But it's not that the world don't bring me problems. It does bring me problems. It rains on the some of this right here. But I've got somebody who I rely on when I've got to cry sometimes, when tears got to come from my eyes. I've got somebody that I can call on heaven. I can lift up my eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come on now. Of course I get lonely. Of course I get tired. Of course I have needs and things that I have need of sometimes. But the Lord has given me something that I can hold on to. That I won't have to rob nobody. I ain't got to hit nobody in the head. I ain't got to snatch some old lady's pocketbook. I ain't got to rob some old man that's trying to cash his check. God's given me a peace that passes all understanding. God has given me a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. I done bought something from him. You think folks who are saved don't go to jail? Oh, there are people who are saved that believe in God that have given the preacher the right hand of fellowship and went right out and robbed a bank. So how do you know that? Because when they get caught, the first thing they want to do is call the pastor. Come down here and pray for me. Come on now. Pastor, my trial comes up in 10 days. Could you come down here and pray for me? And you know what the pastor does? Go right down there and pray for him. Come on now. Pray for them. Say, Lord, I understand. And a lot of times when we pray, we got to take a deep breath. Because, Lord, I understand. There's some things that they're going to have to go through. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Come on now. But you got to tell them, say, Lord, I pray that you temper justice with mercy. Lord, touch their heart, touch their mind, touch this lawyer, touch this judge. Lord, show some mercy towards your child, because this is your child. You say, you think God will show mercy toward his child? Yes, he will. God will show a difference toward one of his children when they get in trouble versus one of the world when they get in trouble? Oh, yes, they will. When you show a difference towards your child? I know I would. Your child get in trouble, my child get in trouble. You think we don't show favoritism toward our children? Yes, we do. Come on now. See it all the time. Say, your child took something out your purse. Oh, you're so upset with them. You fuss at them. You take their electronics from them. You might even whip them. But you know what the next thing you do? You call them and say, come on, dinner's ready. Come on down here and eat. The next door neighbor steals something out of your purse. Oh, you got to get up out of this house. You coming in my house stealing. Get on up out of here. Go on home. Steal your mama purse. Come on now. You mean to tell me you was willing to feed your child, but you sent the neighbor's child home? Yeah, because that's the neighbor's child. That ain't my child. Come on now. That's not my child right there. That's the neighbor's child. God will see one of his children that does something. Oh yeah, those whom he loves, he chasing. He may give you a good whipping, but you steal his child. Even in the hog pen, the prodigal son, the Bible said he came to himself. He was still the king's child. And he said, you know, how many of my dad's hired servants have food and to spare? And here I am, starving with hunger. Let me go home. Let me go to my father and repent. Say, Father, I've sinned before heaven. I've sinned before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. You know what his dad had said? You know what, man? You still my son. Put a robe on him. Put a ring. You done pawned your ring and everything. Okay, get him another ring. Put a ring on him, saying that he's the king's child. That ring represents something right there. Put a ring on him. Matter of fact, you hungry, kill the fatted calf and get everybody down here. We're just going to have a party. Because my son, which was dead, is alive again. He was lost, but now he's found. Everybody's rejoicing except for one son. Come on now. That's the church folk who think they never did anything wrong. Yes. Come on now. Say, wait a minute. Your son who went out and wasted all of your sustenance with harlots. Soon as he come back, you kill the fatted calf. You done gave him your finest robe. Hey, Dad, what's up with this? You know, he's upset. The Bible says he wouldn't even come into the celebration. So his dad had to go out to him. Had to explain something about him. Said, listen here. Son, you are ever with me. In other words, I recognize you never left. Son, you are ever with me. And all that I have, watch this because folks miss this, all that I have is yours. Why he didn't say all that I have is y'all's to split? He didn't say that, did he? The father, the king, said, son, you are ever with me. And all that I have, everything I've got, is yours. But it's right that we should make merry, because your brother was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and now he's found. He is the king's child. But what happened to that son's inheritance? He wasted it. The Bible said he wasted his inheritance with riotous living. You can be a king's child. You can be saved, believe in God, and God has some things that are the inheritance of the saints. But you can waste your health. You can waste your longevity. You can waste your financial resources. You can waste a whole lot of things with a whole lot of riotous living. Jesus told this church, I counsel thee, you need to buy something from me, because what you're doing ain't going to last. I counsel you to buy of me white raiment, that you may be clothed and the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And watch this, the last thing. Anoint your eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Come on now. He's not talking about them seeing in the natural. When he's saying, anoint your eyes with eye salve, that's a type of the anointing. You need to get some anointing in your life and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. There are a whole lot of people that are saved, but spiritually they're blind. They can't see past their own circumstance. Like I said, it can be something that's eating in them so bad, it's itching at them so strong that they call it God, but it's not God. God's saying, anoint your eyes with eye salve so you can see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I done preached about this before. Jesus wasn't talking to the church, to the world. He wasn't talking to sinners when he said, I stand at the door and knock. This is the church at Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Every head bow and every eye closed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. And Father God, we thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ that you've given us, Lord, to go through each one of the seven churches. We recognize that we're in there somewhere. One of those seven churches describes our walk with you. Lord, I ask that you take the revelation of those seven churches and minister it to our heart. The warnings that you've given through each of those churches, Lord God. The warnings to repent. All but two of those churches were told to repent. Make it right. Get it right. So, Lord, if we're one of those churches that are lacking, Lord, give us a heart of repentance to get it right with you so that we can overcome and sit with you in your throne and receive your new name. Receive our new name. Rule with the rod of iron. In the name of Jesus, we give y'all praise, give y'all honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Clap your hands and give God praise, everybody. Hallelujah.